Welcome, boys and girls, to the 200th edition of the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe. My name is Mike Quackenbush. With me, as usual, is my best bud, Clayton Morris. And for reasons not entirely clear to me, we are live on the interweb.
Can you believe this? This is the 200th episode. And Mike was unaware that when we were doing this live, I said, we're going to do our first ever live Google Plus Hangout 200th show. It's been nearly, what, 4 or 5 years in the making now, it seems like.
About four. Via division, I've come up with 4 years.
We took a few breaks here and there. However, Mike was unaware that you needed a video camera for a live portion of the show.
No, well, I am here live. This is really me. This isn't post-produced, but I was unaware that there was a video component.
Leave it to my good pal Mike for that. We are live. This is the 200th episode, and so we have a lot of people here in the Google Plus live hangout event through our Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe page. And before we get to all of them, we should mention, Mike, we're going to be doing some trivia and some giveaway. And this episode is brought to you, the 200th live component of this episode is brought to you by our good friends over at Cobra, right?
You're absolutely right. They are the exclusive sponsors of this massive 200th podcast of ours. They are also the longest standing sponsor, I think, in the history of Grizzly Productions, are Cobra Electronics, and we're really, really glad to have them on. And it is thanks to them that we have some awesome goodies that we are going to give away. Now, to clarify how you're going to win these goodies, this is really important that you understand this. We're going to ask the trivia question. Of course, if you're here live, you'll have the first crack at it. And then Clayton will also post them. Just to clarify, you must answer the question correctly.
Oh, no false answers?
That's right. Incorrect answers do not win you the awesome goods from Cobra Electronics. And we have four, right? We have four items from Cobra Electronics. Is that correct? So,
yeah, we do. And we will also thank our other show sponsor, Squarespace, a little bit later in the show as well. So thanks to them. But our friends at Cobra are going to be giving some great stuff away. So we thought here we'd kick off the show with the folks who are live with us this morning, who are in the Google Plus Hangout, who have their microphones on and who can chat with us. And then we'll dive into the rest of the show after we say hello to all of them. So let's go down the line here. You want to start it off here? Who was here first? I think Richmond was here first.
Richmond Bramblett did show up very, very early for this hangout.
Yeah,
he did. Richmond is at work, so he's going to be quiet because he does not want to be fired.
So, well, thanks to Richmond is here as well. And you know what? I'm just realizing that because we don't have the recording components available for Google Plus, we won't be able to actually hear some audio. So,
I can do Richmond's voice in the few moments that we were speaking there. I think I very quickly, Richmond, send it to me in the chat. What is the name of your employer? And then I'm going to quick tweet them just to let them know not to bother you during the show.
Right.
If that's all right.
Yeah, Richmond's actually working right now. So he's actually working. Thanks to Richmond joining us. Thanks to Mike Lewis joining
us. Bramblett, get me that spreadsheet.
He's like, I can't right now. I'm watching the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe. What in the hell is that? Matt Mahler is here. Nice to see you, Matt. Welcome to the show. Long time listener of the show. Thanks so much, Matt. Right in the chat room. How long have you been a listener of the show? I think a couple years now. I've seen, yeah, a couple years. Matt's been involved in the show.
About
so that's
two
great
three time. Minutes now. He's been involved. He just logged in.
That's so great. And Eric Hofstetter is also here. He's a long time listener of the show. Great to see you, Eric. Hope you guys get a chance to win some great prizes. How long have you been a listener of the show, Eric?
4 years.
Yeah. So Eric.
Well, we
that.
Sent you a threatening email. I think that's how it began. We threatened Eric into listening.
Yeah. So we have, who else do we have in here? Terry Leaders is also joining us today. And my Mark Taggart is also here. Tell us how long you guys have been listening in the chat room here, and we'll post that up. So, why don't we do our first bit of trivia, Mike? We'll do that, and then we'll dive into the – so we'll do our first trivia question where you guys can, again, on our Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe page on Google+, and I'll post it up on our Facebook page as well. These are the questions. So if you're listening later after the live event, you still may have a chance to answer. If no one answers correctly, we'll contact you and let you know if you won or not. Mm-hmm. So what is the first bit of trivia from our 200 episodes?
Okay. So I want to point out, I think these will escalate in difficulty. So this is your best bet now.
Okay.
Especially those of you like, you know, Matt Mahler, who really has only been listening now about 4 minutes.
Right.
You know, this one favors you, Mahler. All right, be ready. over the course of these last 4 years, we have taken giant chunks of episodes where we've reviewed the chronology of certain media franchises. We did this possibly most notably with a string of movies that date back as far as the 60s. What is the media franchise that we're talking about? These all people right. do know, Clayton. Look at this. The answers are streaming in. All of them, are, of course, are wrong. All the answers are incorrect at this point. We're looking for a line of adult films. Adult films here.
Right. Yeah, the I think it's the Lady Chatterley series is the
that's
is
right.
the correct.
And a yeah. strange bit of crossover is actually Adam West appears in those. He's actually in that and the Happy Hooker Part 2. So Mike Lewis got exactly. You
okay.
know, Batman Triple X, Mike, also stars Vin Diesel. I don't know if you knew that.
Okay, yeah. So that is now live on our Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe fan page on Google Plus, and that is where you have a chance to answer it. So what franchise did we start back then? So those in the live element of the show probably have the best chance.
I would say so. This is the I think they may have got it there.
All right, so you were at an event this weekend in North Carolina, is that right?
Yeah, I'm going to have to make these harder. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave the show for like a half hour.
Okay.
And I'm going to go listen to some old episodes, and I'm going to come back with harder questions, because I can tell already these are too easy for the people assembled here. I'm just going to hand it off to Eric Hofstetter, who does a reasonable impersonation of me, and he will fill in from this point on as me. Yeah, I was on the road this weekend, and I was down in Piedmont, Alabama, which seems to be maybe like the closest major city within a proximity of that is Atlanta. And the very next day, we were in Gibsonville, North Carolina, not too far from Greensboro. We were down there, and it involved a lot of heavy travel, and perhaps I usually dread travel. The upside to it was it allowed me to get caught up on season 5 of Breaking Bad.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so you finished. Are you totally caught up now?
I am as up to the point that they left it off. And now, of course, there'll be almost a year lag time before we get the final 8 episodes of Breaking Bad. So here we go. Especially, this is just for the people in the live chat. I'm going to spoil everything in Breaking Bad Season 5 for you. So if you're not caught up.
Right. Don't do it. Don't do it.
No, this is a time to check out of the hangout.
You know, it's interesting. This morning, actually, on the Howard Stern Show, Bryan Cranston was the guest, and it was really
who's that guy?
He plays, of course, Walter White on Breaking Bad, and it was fascinating because he was talking about how he doesn't know how the show is going to end yet. They haven't even told him. How is that possible? Haven't they already started filming the last portion of the season, or are they not done with that yet?
I remember when they were doing the last season of Lost, or sometimes even when they did season finales of Lost, they would distribute like bogus versions of the scripts to some people. And even who's the actor that played Jack? Was it Matthew Fox? Is that his name?
Right, right.
That they gave him 3 different versions of one of the finales, so he didn't know which one was the real one. So I would imagine something that's as anticipated as this, that maybe they're not even letting people like Bryan Cranston in on it.
Well, he said one thing he does know is that Dean Norris, who plays Hank, will complete his poop that he was in the middle of taking. He does know.
Thank goodness.
He does know that that's going to happen.
That's what I was most concerned with.
But he thought, you know, hey, it's Breaking Bad, right? That it's going to break bad. It has to finish with Walter White dying. He said that's what my assumption was. He said, but then I thought, well, maybe there's another way. Maybe there's there's plenty of other ways, one of which is that maybe he screws up so badly that everyone else dies around him and that he's sort of left being alone with everyone else having been killed. So, he doesn't know. He's just like speculating.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think it'll be very interesting to see what they do. It's so well done, and it's very, very compelling, of course. And you're invested in all of the characters, no matter how badly they behave, how immoral their actions. You're really, really invested in seeing what goes down.
So, all right, give me your sense of, because I finished season 5 as well. It was, I guess, part 1 of season 5, right? I guess that's how you could.
Right.
So take me through what your thoughts were, because I know you're a big fan of, you're a big fan of, again, I guess, spoiler alert, right? If you're,
yeah.
How many people in the chat room have watched all of Breaking Bad?
Yeah, are you caught up on that?
Okay, Matt's all caught up. Richard's all caught up. Am I saying Richmond?
It's Richmond.
Sorry,
yeah.
Richard. All right, Terry. Everyone else is caught up. Mike is all caught up. Mike Lewis. Okay, good. Eric, are you a Breaking Bad fan? Yeah. think we might have folks muted because obviously we won't be able to record that portion of the track. So just type in the chat room if you're caught up or not. But so, all right, so this won't be a spoiler alert then. I know you're a fan of Mike, of course, and I'm a big fan of Mike too. I guess he was Gus Fring's right-hand man.
Oh, I thought you meant me. I was like, of course I am. Come on.
No, I'm a moderate fan of you.
Right. I was gonna say, yeah, you're on the way out. I'm right. Kind of a lapsed fan myself. Yeah, I really do like that character. And I think based on some of the things I read online, they were maybe surprised at how he would steal the scene sometimes when he was showing up. And he was intended to be a very minor character, but of course becomes a driving character by the fifth season, although his role kept increasing and increasing. And I really, really do like that character. And quite a few characters are laid to waste. That's one of the great things about this show. I think what keeps it so tense is that you realize anybody could go at any minute. And what I did find a little strange was, knowing how late in the game it is, right? This is the last season, was that they started rolling out all these new characters. That you have Todd, who's part of the Vamanos Pest group, who becomes a little more integral to the plot as the season wears on.
Oh, yeah. Todd is his name?
Yeah, yeah. There's that that new character, Lydia. I don't even know the name of the actress who plays her.
She's great.
Yeah, she's very, very effective in that role, I think. It just surprised me, because you would think this late in the game, there maybe isn't time to be introducing new characters, but they go about their business very, very well there at Breaking Bad, and they don't seem to ever make a mistake, so I liked it quite a bit.
And then, of course, the relationship between Walt and Skyler takes off in a really weird way. And you get the point where she says that she's just waiting for the cancer to come back.
Yeah.
Which is sort of a jaw-dropping moment in this particular season.
Yeah, they had such a great number of one-liners. I think it might have been from the end of season four, actually, that line about, there's danger knocking at the door or whatever, and Walt says, "The danger is me."
Right.
And she kind of turns that back around on him in season five. You know, she throws it in his face. She says, "Oh, I thought the danger was you." She, as you watch her, just become increasingly cold towards everything. You know, she's kind of, I think, building this wall around herself as the circumstances of her life become more and more ridiculous or outlandish to her, and she can't really cope with what's going on. It's weird because your perspective, I think, the perspective of the viewer is the perspective of Walt. You know, you kind of see the world through his eyes. And so, while it might be from the outside easier to relate to what the Skyler character is going through, you always see it through the lens of Walt. And because of how she's relating to him, as the season wears on, you're just like, yeah, I think she needs to go. Like, I keep waiting for that. There's that moment, really, when they're out by the pool. And she's already once gone in the pool, she's having her own bizarro moment there. And I thought, Walt's going to throw her in the pool. I really thought that's where it was going.
I did, too. And I thought, what's she going to do here? And she's sort of gone off the deep end. But you get the sense, though, of course, at the end of the season, they seem to be, now that he has quit, he says he's quitting, he's getting out. That she's on board with that, that she smiles at him, of course, longingly at the table outside at the pool. That's when Hank goes inside and figures that out. Now, my sense of where this will go in the next season is, first of all, Hank is not one to tell Marie, his wife, very much, right?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't tell her a lot unless she sort of forces it on him. So he's going to keep this to himself, right? Because if he lets on that he thinks that Walt is Heisenberg or is the man behind all of this meth, she's going to say, "You cannot say a word. Absolutely not. Don't even think about perpetrating this on this family. You better have something more than a little, piece of poetry book on the back of a toilet to go on." So he's going to sort of methodically start going through all of the things. And if you think back, my wife brought up an interesting point, is if you think back to all of the times they almost came in contact with each other, right?
Right.
So you go back to, what was one of the first times they were out with Tuco in the middle of the desert?
Yes, exactly. And that shootout was happening in the middle of the desert.
Yeah. So he's laying behind the car with Jesse. Whether or not he would actually realize that he was actually there in the desert. I don't know if that'll come to light. Then there's that other time when they're in the RV, right? Mm-hmm. Right. And you guys can tell me in the chat room, maybe you guys know of other times, but he's inside the RV and Hank almost opens the door, right? Or he's pulling on the door.
They get Saul to call about Marie being in the hospital to get rid of him. I think one of the things that's going to be really interesting to see them deal with is if Hank really does come to fully understand the scope of things, then all of his physical therapy, all this other stuff was really paid for, not with the money they thought came from gambling, which was a cover story, but it came from this meth operation. And how is he going to react to the fact that that's where that came from? So I think that's going to be really interesting. And they're all just such great characters. You know, you don't want to see it end. You don't really want to see any of them die. Though I did really kind of like the way Mike went out.
Right.
I did really like that. I thought it was very fitting to him. And it was an intriguing character choice. I don't know that actor, the guy that plays him. I don't know what he's from, if he's from anything at all. Maybe he was relatively undiscovered. But it was an interesting choice, and they really put it in perspective when Saul is in there dealing with Hank and his partner Gomi. And don't leave, Richmond Bramblett. I see you get up. Your camera's on. Don't you leave while we're in the middle of a live 200th episode. Get back to your desk. Are you doing work, Bramblett? At work?
You called him out. Maybe he has a bathroom break.
Yeah.
No, there's no bathroom breaks allowed during this show.
That's where I'm going to be disappearing to.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my train of thought. But anyway, Saul even points that out. He calls him a senior citizen. And, like, he's the real heavy of the series.
Right.
He's this, like, kind of grandfatherly guy who likes to sit at the park and watch his granddaughter on the swings. Like, he's the heavy. But I like the symbolism, too, of, like, the Heisenberg hat coming back into play that had been gone for a while. Like, he redons that in his Getty Mart sunglasses and morphs back into that more vicious persona of his. So it's very, very well done, of course. And it was, as you had alluded to, Clayton, I don't know if we talked about that on air or not, but there is, in the penultimate episode of the season, a cook to which the soundtrack is
the Monkees
going down.
Right. So now I brought that up. I said, you're going to love the next season because there's an episode with a hat tip to you. You're going to really appreciate this. And it was the Monkees. It was a scene when he and I think Todd are cooking after Jesse vacates, right? And they're cooking in one of the houses, in one of the Vominos Pest houses. Mm-hmm. And they play the Monkees going down. Now, you had heard that Mickey Dolenz was not happy with that.
There were a couple comments from him that he was really torn about the use of that song in there because he said that while he's a fan of Breaking Bad, the fact that it was kind of used as like the soundtrack to Drug Manufacturer, I think maybe left him with some mixed emotions. But they always go out of their way to choose like these really interesting like classic rock tracks for that sort of thing. Or sometimes, you know, there's like a weird, more modern techno thing behind it. But that tends to be when Jesse's involved. You know, when Jesse's not there, when it's more of a Walt-driven scene, it tends to be like a classic rock choice, as if it somehow speaks to the generation that they're from. Which is, again, a really interesting choice that the creative team behind it makes. And the series is created by and mostly written by Vince Gilligan, who prior to this was probably best known, and I think he was even nominated for an Emmy for his work on The X-Files. That's where Vince Gilligan really cut his teeth in television. And so it's kind of a natural parallel for you and I guess, in that we came up as X-Files fans. You know, we watched that series through right up to its miserable conclusion. Oh, God, those last two seasons were wretched.
Yeah.
That's like choking down a dried-out piece of boiled chicken, Clayton. You know what I mean? Like, I got to get this down because I've been, you've had me this long, Chris Carter. I'll finish out your rotten series.
Mike Lewis writes in the chat room about that. I think you're referring to that song, Mr. Lewis, the Monkees song. And he says it was great. It was more about the fall of a man, not the drugs. Maybe that's – I can appreciate that. You really see him going down this rat hole where Jesse's trying to get out. You know, Mike's trying to get out. And Walter's just like, I'm soldiering on. I'm doing this. This is mine now. I finally got the power. And you can tell that, right, he's wanted this power since he was forced out of that company. Years ago.
It's interesting how they brought that back around.
Right.
You know, like I'd almost forgotten that existed in the continuity until he, you know, verbalized it to Jesse. So
I'd like to be. Terry Leader says I've seen some people prepping their Heisenberg Halloween costumes. That's a good Halloween costume. It's pretty basic, pretty simple. I may even have that hat. I think I already have that black hat.
Yeah. And you certainly have a black zip-up.
Right, I can pull that off.
Right, yeah.
I didn't wear the zip-up today for the live show. Mm-hmm. Hey, coming up a little bit later on the show, here's what I want people to do in the chat room. Some of your favorite moments, or maybe from this show, from the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe, some ridiculous moments, some things that you have memories of that we can chat about here. I'm going to talk about some of our favorite moments from the 200 episodes, and I may even dig out of the archives a part of our first episode. And I'll play.
Why?
You know, so many people have asked that. I think a couple people
have
asked
haven't.
That. No, they haven't. I think Eric may have been asked to hear that.
No,
am I right on that?
Eric, he's throwing you under a bus. Like, this is not true at all.
Mike Lewis says he thought this was the first episode. No.
Right.
I know it may sound that way. We have the very first episode. I have to dig through the archives. We may toss to some of that. You can hear how poor it was back then. But now to the many, many, many thousands of you across the globe who listen, you'll have to listen to that first episode and cringe. So other thoughts from the 200 episodes, things that stand out to you, we can kind of go over a little bit. Plus, we'll talk Homeland. I'm in like episode 3 of Homeland now, which is fantastic. And we'll talk a little bit about what else we got going on.
I think that's going to be it. So the rest of the episode is about 5 minutes long after this, and then we should be done. I can see right now, since we're doing this as a live Google Plus Hangout, which is a new thing available on the internet, I can see in the background here that some men with handcuffs are taking Richmond Bramblett away. Very sorry to see that. Mm-hmm. Some employers – I should speak a little bit about my experience with my old job about sometimes the employers, they do monitor the internet usage more than you think. Look out. Could be coming.
They're like, why is Richmond's bandwidth being sucked up today? He's been live streaming all day. What's going on over there? Is he watching Hulu Plus?
Yeah.
All right. We should take a moment here and give away another piece of equipment from our friends at Cobra. So our first winner, we gave away a Cobra tag the very first time. A Cobra tag. Mm. Now, the Cobra tag is great because it basically keeps you from ever losing your keys or your smartphone. So you pair it with your device. You launch it, and it works great. So, Mike, you're a big fan of the Cobra tag, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the items that they're typically offering a special on. Sometimes it's available at a discount. Sometimes it's buy one, get one free. When you go over to Cobra.com on their left-hand navigation, you look down. They've got all these different things, right? They've got radar detectors, GPS navigation, marine navigation, all this type of stuff. And then there's a tab for specials. And usually there's, you know, two pages of specials that constantly get updated and refreshed over there where you can get some of their great, great innovations at terrific discounts. Or like I said, there's usually at least one buy one, get one free. And especially some of their higher-end stuff, that's enormous savings that represents if you're able to jump on board with that kind of thing. The Cobra tag, I think, maybe of all the things they make, is the most ideal, like, stocking stuffer type Christmas gift. It protects your Cobra tag protected item. That's a little redundant of me to say. By exactly how Clayton said, it pairs via Bluetooth, which I don't even know what that is, to your smartphone device. And then if you would ever misplace it, you could call the item. You could call it. Now, I don't know if the item will answer, but it will ring, and then it will indicate to you where it is. But what I like best about this is, because usually when I make that type of mistake, and for example, a mistake was made like this over the weekend, if an unnamed member of the Chikara roster had Cobra tagged his mask when it was left behind in Piedmont, Alabama, and we got to Gibsonville, North Carolina, and he attempted to call it, and it was too far away for him to hear the ringtone, it would have drawn him a map to it, and we would have gone, someone's going back to Piedmont, Alabama to get that guy's mask.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, it is. Tough to put that guy in the ring.
So we gave away, and during our first trivia question, we gave away the Cobra tag. And the first person to answer it correctly was Richmond Bramlett. So congratulations, right? Richmond. You win yourself.
True?
This is true. He wins a Cobra tag. We had Eric Hofstadter came in second, and then over on our Facebook page, Richard Fairhurst was next to respond. So that was the order, first, second, and third. But Richmond, you won the first one. Now, Mike is up with our next trivia question. This time we're going to give away a Cobra iRadar. A Cobra iRadar system.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So get your keyboards. Now, I should mention, Richmond, you're not eligible for the second one here. So,
that's right. Sorry. You're out.
You're out.
Okay.
Done.
Yeah, and I hated what you did with American History X. All right? Like, come on. So, yes, have your keytars ready.
And you're going to, you don't have to answer the trivia question correctly, but you do have to perform the solo to Peg by Steely Dan on your keytar in order to win this one. That's it. So first I'll ask the question, then you play the keytar solo to Peg.
Okay, remember, you have to answer it on our Google Plus page, not in the chat.
I see. I think I might have screwed things up then, because I had definitely indicated to people that they could answer in the chat. And I just want you to know that I have lied.
Right.
You cannot use the chat window. Also, I lied. I didn't watch Breaking Bad Season 5. There was three sentences on Wikipedia.
So you're full of hot air today. All right, go ahead with your trivia question. Speak slowly so I can type it, okay?
Okay, I will speak more slowly. And then after this, they've got to get more difficult, because I realize these are not hard enough. When discussing the chronology of certain sets of media, I believe on only one occasion have Clayton and I taken the opportunity to listen to all of the studio-recorded albums by this band. What is the name of this band? And please phrase your response in the form of a question. And Clayton is watching studiously.
I'm typing. We listened to all the studio recordings of one band.
And we reviewed them here on the program.
Talked about it on The Grizz. Mm-hmm. Name this band. Mm-hmm. All right. And it is now public. Go and type. Okay. Who will be first? We'll find out in a little bit later, coming up on the show. Okay.
So hard remaining this still for the entire program. So we're gonna have to get some more difficult ones here. So again, I'm gonna leave the program for a while. Clayton, why don't you tell me about Homeland? Which after your libelous account last week, I did some internet research. Claire Danes is on that show.
No, she's not. I think you're wrong. I think the girl who the woman who's on Homeland looks strikingly similar to Claire Danes, may even have the same name as Claire Danes. But you would not recognize her from my so-called life.
Or any other thing.
No, she's... Now, to be fair, because my wife even asked me this question. She said, so why is Claire Danes so contemptuous for you guys? I'm like, well, you know Mike, I said. I'm recounting the conversation.
Hey, did you know she and I make a podcast together? Go ahead.
That's true, called The Trending Show. I said, well, it turns out that, Mike holds a grudge. And so if he hated her in my so-called life, he'll never watch another project unless Christopher Nolan calls him and says, hey, Mike, I'm casting Claire Danes in the next Batman film. Do you think you can find it in your heart that one particular weekend to go and see my next Batman film, even though Claire Danes is in it? Mike will say, all right, Chris, maybe I'll go and see it.
Maybe.
So that's what happened, right? Because I can't think of anything else I've ever seen of her other than my so-called life.
There's a few movies that she's in as well, and I just find her incredibly irritating. Hmm. Like, she's very, very irritating. Like, almost to the extent that Nicolas Cage is. Like, instantly repellent. Instantly repellent. And
I've never seen another movie with her in it, so I don't have that issue. I wasn't a fan of her in my so-called life, but back then. So
I don't
anyway.
Think I even watched that. I'm not really sure, but yeah, I find her very, very irritating. There was a group of actresses that kind of came up roughly around that same time as she did, and I find all of them to be roughly equally irritating. And
Romeo and Juliet. That's right. She was in the one with Leonardo DiCaprio. Thanks, Matt. Mm-hmm. That's right. So, but anyway, she's great in the show.
She's Mercutio in that, if you were curious, in Romeo and Juliet. Yeah, she's the jester character.
So she's excellent in Homeland, and Homeland is fantastic, and it really is a good thriller. I think it's right up there with some of our more entertaining shows. We just finished episode 3 last night of the first season, and it's really becoming compelling. As this guy, he was trapped in a hole, basically, in Afghanistan, a soldier, for like 6 or 7 years. Or maybe it was 8 years. I don't remember. of course, he's rescued. And he comes back. He returns. And there's a question as to, why is he home now? And what does he know? Is he some sort of like a sleeper cell now? Has he been turned by the folks that were keeping him captive? Is he a terrorist sort of waiting to plan now that he's back home with his family? Mandy Patinkin is in it. He plays one of the head CIA guys, and he's very, very good. Claire Danes plays a sort of a neurotic CIA agent, and she's a her character basically, you know, she has like no food in the refrigerator. A guy that comes over basically says, you know, do you have any tomatoes in your tomatoes? And she says, yeah, I do. And he says, any from the last century? She has like 10-year-old expired spaghetti. Like she never eats. She just like is so committed to her work and neurotic. And as they attempt to try to protect against any sort of homegrown terrorism. So the season is unfolding. It's a bit like 24 and The Wire, I guess. Is that a good...
I've heard it compared to Mr. Wizard. Mm-hmm. You might remember that, the educational program.
Captain Kangaroo.
Yeah, I think that's a natural analogy there. So I don't know. I think part of it is I realize there's a spectrum. Angelina Jolie is maybe the most obvious example for me to point out here. I think the vast majority of the world sees her as like a real sex symbol, Angelina Jolie, right? They're like, oh, that chick, right? And I do not find her attractive at all. And even further up the scale is Claire Danes. Like, I don't even want to look at her face. Like, could she put a mask on for this series or something? Right? And the, I don't know if they would want that, but the promotional campaign, when it rolled out, I was still, I think at the time when it was first being teased, I might have still been living like in the center city of Philadelphia. There were just huge billboards all along the major highways that were just her face and it said Homeland next to it. And, like, I just had breakfast, and I got to look at Claire Danes. Like, come on.
I think she's an attractive lady. You don't think she's attractive?
And I think that you are completely wrong.
I think she's attractive. I don't think she's stunning. I don't think she's repugnant either.
Right. But, stunning in the way that you get over into the other lane. Like, I got to put my side view mirror in front of her face there. Like,
what if I told you, maybe this would have you watch the show, if I told you that Danica McKellar, formerly Winnie Cooper of Well, the Wonder Years, is playing the character on Homeland.
I'm wondering how many lies you will tell to get me to watch Homeland. And
this is I'm like one for a year 50 today, so it's to keep up with you. So yeah, I've been watching.
Well, I do have a quota to hit, you know, because Squarespace gets mad if I don't hit the certain quota of lies per episode, and that keeps our editor Jim on his toes too. Because how many lawsuits he's saved us from, I don't even want to guess. True.
Hey, did you see J.J. Abrams on Conan the other night?
I did not.
Promoting the new Star Trek movie. I don't know if anyone else caught that or not, but so he got to go on Conan, and he joked a little bit about that Paramount wouldn't let him show too much of the clip, a long clip of the movie, because it's not out till, when is it out, next year or Christmas time?
I'm not certain.
I think maybe it's next year, right?
Somebody in the Google Hangout just whispered and I heard it.
Summertime.
Oh, there it is. That's amazing. Way to go muting everyone, Clayton. No, hey. Eric's been cussing me out.
I didn't mute anyone. I'm hoping I can mute you soon.
No, I was going around trying to mute. Someone was too close to their microphone for a bit of it, and I was getting all sweaty.
I think that might have been Matt. He was he was getting hungry, and he was looking at his
microphone. Right, Mahler. Clayton's on to you. Yeah.
No,
it
wasn't him.
Yeah, deny it now. Oh, look, now he's mad. Oh, he's shutting off his webcam. He's like, I'm out. Google minus Matt Mahler.
It is summertime for the new Star Trek film, and he showed a three frame clip of Spock in a volcano. He said, I was only allowed to show three frames, and it was pretty funny. So it just shows Spock like in wearing some weird suit in the middle of a volcano
with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. That's gonna be really looking forward to that film.
Man, that was a classic. So let's look back. It's time now to look back on 200 episodes.
And I'm looking right behind you now. Now, in the behind those double doors behind Clayton, as I look back, that's where his collection of black zip-ups are held. And you've got about how many in there? About 365, give or take?
I think I have a bunch of them in there, yeah.
Yeah. Now, this is very telling mathematically, of course. Correct me if I'm wrong. We started this program at the end of August, just over 4 years ago. But that's because of the weeks that we've taken off, that's why... You would think 52 weeks in a year, we should be at least at episode 208. But the reason that we were only at episode 200 are from those occasions when we've taken off, which have included the birth of children, right? That was reason to not have a show that week, the birth of a child. And right. I think that one's fairly excusable. Did we take a week off? I had surgery a couple years ago. Did we take a week off after that, or did we?
No. In fact, I'll tell you what we did. You had your spleen removed.
Yes.
After you took a bad bump outside of a ring somewhere,
I caught a turnbuckle right in the spleen.
to take that thing out. Now you have a spleen bag that you carry with you.
I do.
So it's interesting. I think right after your surgery, if we look back, can you name the most reviled episode we've ever done?
Right. Well, I think we took a week off, and then we thought, there's no way we can take another week off. I don't know if it was because Yoo-Hoo was getting mad at us or what was going on at the time. But then we did. We came back with one that was I was just asking you questions. I was quizzing you about whether or not you knew more about Barack Obama than you knew about Batman. And you demonstrated by a two-answer margin that you, in fact, know more about Batman than about the president. And I would wager to say, like, if we did a vast polling of the United States, people would get way more questions about Batman right than I think about Barack Obama. Like, I know very, very little about that guy. I learned this recently. Did you know that he's the first black president?
I didn't know that. I thought it was Bill Clinton was the first black president.
I don't know. I get all my information from the Daily Star and Children. So,
and the checkout lane at your local Wawa, right?
That's where the rumor mongers hang out. They're shoplifting peanut M&Ms.
So we had this trivia episode that was universally regarded as our most reviled episode. And why do you think it was? I mean, it was like 30 minutes long because you were still laid up in bed. So you had to drag yourself out of bed at post-surgery and attempt to do this show. It was painful for you. It was very painful.
And painful for the listeners.
For you.
Right. I think it was that and the fact that you were eating soup throughout the whole episode. So there's like this scraping of your spoon against this soup bowl, and you're like, slurp, 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 slurp. And people are like,
hungry.
Yeah, you know, we're not
trivia,
this one.
Trivia makes me hungry.
Yeah, yeah. It was sort of a game show format that we were testing out, and wow, it...
Didn't really work too well. So, hey, we have the next winner of our Cobra iRadar giveaway.
Oh, yeah?
And the first person to respond in our Google Plus page... they beat them to, let's see, that was the first person to respond. The first person to get it correct from Matt Mahler writes, what is They Might Be Giants?
And that is in the form of a question. Well done.
You did it. Very good job. You get a plus one. You get a plus one, Matt. And you win a Cobra iRadar system from our friends at Cobra Electronics. So thanks.
Cobra Electronics. Yes, indeed. Hey, Mike Lewis wrote in the chat room. I don't know if you know this. I just saw a commercial about this, actually. If you are of mixed ethnicity, I believe that's pronounced Afblack. That's how that's pronounced. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Clayton, they pay you for that when you can't work.
That's right.
Is that right? I didn't get all of what this company was trying to sell me.
So. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
So as promised, I wanted to play a little of Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe Episode 1.
Well, right now, you might be – I'm going to warn you this. You may actually be ruining one of my trivia questions if you do this.
Okay. Well, then I won't. You know what I'm going to do, though? Here's what I'll do. Because I have the first episode of the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe, by a show of hands in the chat room, how many people would like us to release it as a bonus episode?
Zero. Look at that. Come on. Eric, you're working against me here.
Everyone in the chat room says they'd like to hear it, so you're working against Mike.
First of all, Mike Lewis didn't move when you said that. I want to point that out. He remained immobile, okay?
And you know what's interesting is I look back on our early episodes, like the first and second episodes didn't have a name. We never named the episodes.
Well, they just need to be numbered in the beginning. People don't know. They don't know how long you're going to last. So in the beginning, a title's almost presumptuous.
Right. That's true.
And there you see poor Richmond, of course, boxing up his desk. He's going to have to start putting resumes out there and looking for new work. It's a shame. But hey, at least you got a prize for listening to the Grizz 200. I lost my job. But.
So sorry, Eric, and sorry, Michael, for coming in second and third once again on our trivia question. Michael Hanskar came in third in our questioning.
That's a very Scandinavian-sounding name.
Hanskar. Who knows? He might be from Scandinavia.
Are you?
We have a lot of listeners overseas. We have a lot of listeners overseas, too. So, okay. So let's do our next trivia question. And our here? Well, yeah, we've got four. Let's pause, though, and thank one of our other show sponsors this week.
Get on that.
Our good friends over at Squarespace.com, makers of the brand new Squarespace. It's web hosting made simple. If you're thinking about starting your own website or your own blog or your business site, perhaps you've got a flower shop. Perhaps you're like Mike and you run yourself an auto body shop.
I do.
You want to create your own website for your company. Why would you go out and pay tens of thousands of dollars to someone to create a website when you can do it on Squarespace for $8 a month? That's their lowest plan, and that's really all you need. Their more little expensive plan is $16 a month, and that gives you unlimited bandwidth. But if you're just creating like a brochure website for your small business, all you need is the $8 a month plan, really. I mean, it's fantastic. It gives you over 20 pages you can create in there. You can create your About Us page. You can create your Contact Us page. You can create a photo gallery page. You can create a business or blog page, whatever you want, up to 20 different pages for $8 a month. And the best part is the responsive design. How many people in the chat room know what responsive design means? Anybody know what responsive design is?
Hands down, Eric. Hands down.
Yeah, Richmond Bramlett knows what it is, I believe. I think he's going to enter in here. So
actually, that's his former employer that indicated that, Clayton. That's not Richmond.
So, Mike, why don't you explain what responsive design is? Because I know I think the Boston Globe website, if I'm not mistaken, those guys, those developers a few years ago spent like a year and a half working on responsive design for the Boston Globe website. Now the guys at Squarespace added it in free.
Yeah.
So when you build a website there, it's free. And the Boston Globe spent like a year and a half making it, and now it's free in Squarespace.
That's right. And you want to make sure your website looks good on any device. Some people, for example, you know, I only experience the internet when it comes through my computer screen. That's the only way I know how to get to it. But there are people that have smartphones, and they have intelligent devices and tablets and things like that. And you need a website that can reconfigure itself. And we're not just talking about the design. We're talking about image size. We're talking about all of the components. And this is automatic. This is built into the new Squarespace, so you never have to worry about that. You're never ever going to have to go to a design or a development team and say, well, I need you to make me this alternate version of my site customized for mobile, right? Clearly, and I can tell you this just from seeing numbers, for example, like YouTube demographic numbers, about how many people now are linking to information only through their mobile device. In the United States, it's the majority of people. The majority of people in the United States now experience it through a mobile device, which is really staggering information to me. As I said, I can only get the internet on my computer. It's really, really key.
And we're going to be moving grizzlyproductions.tv over to the new Squarespace 6 with responsive design, with social media publishing, which is great for us, so that when we do a new episode and things like that get posted, you can automatically tie in your social media account, so you don't have to go over and then type out a tweet or a Facebook message. It automatically posts there. It just saves you a lot of work, especially if you're a smaller operation. You don't have all the folks type it out like crazy like that. So the social media integration is wonderful. They just do such great stuff over there. It's drag and drop. You literally can just drag pictures in, move it around columns. You don't need to know how to write any code. The templates are beautiful. And go over there right now. I just posted it up in the chat room. Go to squarespace.com/grizzly. That's how we get a little credit for going over there and looking at it. And then look at their new templates. The new templates are beautiful. They just added a couple of new ones that I love. And then use the coupon code BARB. Barb is the coupon code this month, and that'll get you 10% off the life of your website over there. I know a couple of people have tweeted me saying they just signed up for the first time, and we encourage them to do that. So they're happy that Squarespace is a sponsor of the show. So,
yeah, encouragement maybe is not enough. As you may recall, I once intimidated Eric Hofstetter into listening to our podcast, and if need be, I will email each of you personally and intimidate you into using squarespace.com. Okay.
Yeah, so if you guys, everyone who's in the chat room right now, just do us a little favor. Just click on the link that we just posted there, squarespace.com/grizzly. Go there and just visit it for a few seconds. And check out the new template. I really love, what's the template I was seeing the other day that I loved? It's the, they added a new one here.
Yep, it's called the Clayton Morris. Imagine that.
No, it's called
Dovetail.
As if
they knew you would be,
It's called Dovetail. And they added another one called the Jirik, which is quite nice. So I think they might have added a few other ones too, but these are the ones that stood out to me. I love the Dovetail template. Very, very nice. Okay. So thanks to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode as well.
Mm. Mike Lewis in the chat room says that we sound a lot different when we're not in double speed. I assume by that the difference is it's far more painful for you, Mike.
Yeah, I'm curious how many people would listen to us at double speed. I do that on some shows. It depends on the type of show, if they speak slowly. I think you and I kind of speak rapid fire. So it must be like almost like the who is that guy that used to do the little mini car?
The Micro Machines guy. I know who you're talking about. Yeah, he had like the leftover 70s soft rock mustache. I know who you're talking about. The Micro Machines guy. He died a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
Like in his obituary, they even referred to him as that. He's like best known as the Micro Machines guy.
Wow. I guess that would be something to be known for. All right, let's give something else away. Let's do another trivia question. And then we'll have one more after this.
There. All right, if Clayton insists, we're going to continue to give away things that Cobra Electronics have given us. Okay. I agree. Are you ready, Clayton? Are you going to type it?
I'm going to mute myself, and I'm going to type. So you get ready. Speak slowly. Give me an easy question.
All right, here we go. They are getting a little more difficult here. And you will need to be either a great researcher or a longtime egghead to answer this question. For a long period of time, we used to conclude every episode of the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe by playing a guilty pleasure song until we got enough cease and desist letters. Can you tell us the first guilty pleasure song, song title, and artist?
All right. Repeat the question.
All right. Here it is once again. Can you give us the song title and artist of the first guilty pleasure song we ever played on the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe? I think this goes back to like episode 16, give or take.
Okay. Now, did we call them guilty pleasures then?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a song, right? I mean, we did a whole year of guilty pleasures, but we...
Oh, thank you. Yes. Thank you for that bit of clarification. You're right about that. Just the first song that concluded an episode. You're right. I don't think at first we called them guilty pleasure songs.
So the first song we played.
They were just songs we wanted to subject people to.
Okay, I'm going to clarify that. So just a first song. For a long time, we used to conclude each episode with a song. Can you tell us the first song we played, song title and artist? Now, I'm about to post this up on Google Plus. It is ready to go. Ready your fingers. And again, if no one answered it during the live portion of the show, you at home, if you're listening a few days later, may have a chance. So go to our Google Plus page, Grizzly Bear Cafe on Google Plus, or on our Facebook page, and we'll look at the timestamps and see who had answered first. Okay. Yeah. So ready. It is ready to post, and bingo. It is live. All right.
All right. Now, the winner of that will get a jar of peanut butter. And as a follow-up prize here, we do have some squeezables from the makers of Welch's Grape Jelly. If you can tell us the name of the artist who first threatened to sue us over this, that will be coming your way, the Welch's Grape Jelly.
No, so the winner of this particular trivia question will get a Cobra, the Vedetta radar system.
That's the hydrofoil that Copperhead rides in, right?
Right.
I got that correct, don't I?
This thing is fantastic. This is really, really, really high tech. So it takes driving detection and radar detection to the next level. So that'll be the answer. So whoever gets that first. All right. So back to your regularly scheduled program. So you and I this week, I thought it was interesting because last week on the show, you and I talked about some Sophistopop.
Yes, this is true.
And maybe we can play a few songs here live on the show today.
Oh, boy. Like we didn't learn our lesson.
To be clear, we've never received any sort of letters from anyone because we're within the 30-second time frame here with a lot of this.
I was going to say, I have that set up so that it in Yahoo Pipes, that just goes right into my spam folder.
Right, any sort of cease and desist.
If it says cease and desist, legal notice, you're under arrest, transfer from Nigerian bank, those go right into my spam folder.
So we... How would you describe – you discovered this new genre of music that
– which is an old genre, I guess.
Right. And it's only 80s, right? I mean it's only – it can only be in the 80s genre because I looked through this entire list and I think I was doing some Wikipedia-ing on most of these folks and all of the bands were like formed in the 80s.
Right. Yeah. It really seemed to be that someone has retroactively grouped together these pop acts that had like they're not exactly adult contemporary because that seems to connote, I think, like a soft rock sound. Although that could be said perhaps of some of these artists, but that they somehow deal with more sophisticated matter. And I think it's kind of a bogus term. But it was interesting when I came across this, how many of those were acts that you and I like and listen to anyway. And the most notable acts, as maybe it's the Wikipedia entry or it was – I don't know where I found this exactly – seem to be Sade, Swing Out Sister, and Simply Red, all of whom are acts that we enjoy. And then I discovered some others that I had not been listening to. Now, one of them we had kind of crossed paths with and Clayton was more familiar with is Beja.
Right.
Who is a Polish singer who's had three decent-sized hits. One of them I got incorrectly, by the way. I think I named an Enya song in there, and that was not Beja whatsoever. But Cruising for Bruising, I think, is her most identifiable song. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would say definitely Cruising for Bruising. And that was one of my guilty pleasure choices as well.
Right, quite some time ago. So that was one of them. Also mentioned frequently in these articles was the Style Council.
style Council. Now, they're kind of remembered as 80s one-hit wonders, I think, for their song My Ever-Changing Moods. The Style Council is really like a project of Paul Weller after he departed the band The Jam and before starting his solo career as just Paul Weller. And apparently a very critically acclaimed one, because everything I've found about that guy, people just rave and rave about his career.
Right. I did quite a bit of research on them as well. And, you know, it's funny. I mentioned my co-host, Allison, Fox.
Hang on
Friends.
A second. Clayton, my name's Mike. Oh, I see.
Well, no, that's why I call you that or Sally once in a while, too. Mm-hmm. Is a big fan of Style Council. So when I mentioned mm-hmm. Sophistopop, you know, she was like, oh, yeah, Style Council. She knew right away, and she could name My Ever-Changing Mood. And she, like, I hit play, and she was, like, singing right along with it. She knew exactly what it was. I began to dive through Style Council and really enjoyed a lot of their stuff. There's some other songs from them that popped out. Not only that, but there were some hits in the UK that were not hits here. So we have a lot of UK listeners. I'd be curious if they're familiar with these songs. I was not familiar with, Long Hot Summer.
Yeah,
was a single there as well. Let's see if I can play a little of that here. I play out my role. I've even been out walking. Tell me that it helps, but I know when I'm beaten. So that's Long Hot Summer. That's from Style Council. But I guess then there's another one that was a big hit for them over there as well in the UK, which was You're the Best Thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're the Best Thing was another one of their hits. I'll play a little of that. Ooh, it could be discontent. Just the rainbow's end. I might win much more, but lose all that is mine. I could be a lot, but I know I'm not. Almost, to me, sounded a little bit like Lenny Kravitz, didn't it?
Hmm. Yeah, I guess.
So You're the Best Thing. But then, of course, their biggest hit, I think, in the United States, I think it only reached like 52 on the charts here in the United States, which I was surprised by, mm-hmm. was My Ever-Changing Moods. And here it is. There you go, My Ever-Changing Moods. So the Style Council, a big part of that. And yes, Beja. I don't know if we should play a little Beja or not. What do you think? Did you find another song by her that you enjoyed as you were going through her album? I mean, the only one that I really know or know well is like Cruisin' for a Bruisin'.
Yeah, the songs when I was in iTunes, when I purchased it, you know, it kind of indicated what the bigger hits were in the like little write-up, you know, that they have with every album.
Right.
So Cruisin' for Bruisin', as we said, is kind of the one that's best known. Time and Tide, though, I think is fairly identifiable. And the other hit, incidentally, is New Day for You. And that one I didn't get that correct when we were talking about it. She also, like it seems like a lot of great vocalists do, covers Antonio Carlos Jobim's Waters of March, as did countless others, including Grizz guest of not all that long ago, Jane Monheit. But any of those are pretty good, and I had I sent you a couple tracks to listen to. Did you see I stuck that stuff in the box for you?
Yeah, I did. In fact, I listened to most of them. Now there was mm-hmm. one song that I was surprised that someone did a cover of, whoa! Mike Lewis just stopped the presses in the chat room. Mm-hmm. He asks, any Toad the Wet Sprocket fans here? I am a huge Toad the Wet Sprocket fan. He says they are back on tour. What? Mm. This is news to me. And when they broke up years ago. Yeah. I think after Dulcinea, however you say that album, that had Something's Always Wrong. Great song. Oh, Coil. Or I guess Coil was their last album. Mm. So, they're back on tour. Thanks, Mike, for that. That's interesting. I'd love to go see those guys.
Maybe they'll come play your house, Francis Dunnery style.
Right. Hey, there was a live song, though, or a cover song. That I can't remember. Was it her? Was it Beja that did the cover of? I know you were saying Antonio Carlos Jobim, but there was like another song in that set or that mix that I was surprised by. That was something that we enjoy. There was.
I haven't actually listened to the whole Beja thing the whole way through because I've been kind of jumping around. And others, incidentally, that are in the mix there.
I was surprised to see Wax UK was in the mix, which, talk about an obscure band there. They, like the Style Council, never really cracked the U.S. Billboard Top 40, but I like Wax UK, which was the project of Andrew Gold, the late, great Andrew Gold, and I guess it was Graham Gouldman right after he left 10cc. They were together and recorded a number of bizarre tracks, the most famous of which is Bridge to Your Heart, but my favorite of them is Right Between the Eyes. They were on the list. And like Scritti Politti, some other new wave acts that you would probably know. When in Rome, their song The Promise, which was a modest hit in the 80s, probably best known actually for playing over the end credits of Napoleon Dynamite. You know, Napoleon Dynamite's playing tetherball with his friend at the end of the movie.
Is Waters of March, is that, maybe that's the song I'm thinking of. Is that
right? That's the Antonio Carlos Jobim song.
Oh, okay.
Of course, Jane Monheit covers that, and tons of other vocalists cover that as well. Now, Beja, as I said, she's a Polish vocalist, was also in a band called Matt Bianco. There is no person called Matt Bianco. That's like Who's the Dan in Steely Dan. And she was with Matt Bianco in the beginning. She departed for a while, then came back to it. And I would say of all the Sophistopop groups I've been reading about, this one seems to be the most baffling. Like, the entries about them online are not very well curated or organized. A couple samples I found of their songs online sounded like, you know, that'd probably be up my alley. I like the sound of Matt Bianco, I guess. But I haven't had a chance to check any of that out just yet. I would say of all of it, you know, that's the one now I'm most curious to seek out. We both sought out Hats by Blue Nile since we spoke last, right? And usually Clayton and I speak on this podcast once a week.
That's right. Yeah, so Blue Nile. Now, this was a confusing one for us. So how many folks in the chat room are familiar with Blue Nile? Because you would have think this was like the second coming, right? This band. Right. I mean, the way that they were praised. I mean, if you read some of the material about this band, and I knew nothing about them. Mm-hmm. So I, like you, I don't think knew it much at all about them. So I sort of dove in and was reading as much as I could about these guys. And it was fascinating to see how long people seem to have been waiting for this album to come out, mm-hmm. right? Like, people were like, it's well worth the wait. It was years in the making. Right. It was groundbreaking for the time. And so I'm like, oh, I can't wait to hear this, right? It's like one of those things like, wow, there's a great 80s record that exists out there that I don't know about, that this will be the first time I get to hear it. I can't wait. And it was okay.
It was a little boring.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it was a little boring. It could not match the hype online whatsoever. And I don't know if there's like some kind of nuance that I'm just not attuned to that maybe makes this thing more awesome or worthy of like the 19-star reviews that it gets from everybody, that this is the defining album of the 80s. Like, I always kind of thought that was Thriller.
Right. But, yeah, here's a little let me just play a little of this and get you to respond to this. This is the Over the Hillside. This is the first song off the album The Blue Nile by Hats. Here it
No, it's Hats by The Blue Nile.
I'm sorry. Hats is the album name. The Blue Nile is the band. Here is a little bit of Over the Hillside if you've never heard this before. Wow. I mean,
phew.
Thank God we waited all these years for that, right?
I know. And all the songs are roughly that tempo. You know, there's not like a bunch of fast songs we're not playing for you. And it's seven tracks. Now, they're all longer tracks. So these are all like 6-minute songs, give or take. But, you know, the vocalist, he's not blowing you out of the water. The instrumentation, it's all very mellow. It's kind of like unobtrusive background music, or as Mark Taggart puts it in the chat room, music for insomniacs. They make sleepy time music. It was just amazing that it seemed to garner these universally mega positive reviews from people. And I just kept waiting for it to get better. And then it was over. Like, it was kind of boring. Now, I'm sure you read the same things that I read about this group, in that this album was made really as like a showcase for recording equipment. Did you read about this?
No, I didn't see that.
It was done as a method of demonstrating the capabilities of what was then going to be the most cutting-edge recording equipment you could get, and it was meant to show it off a little bit. So I think that's what I mean about like the nuances that I'm not attuned to, that maybe it evinces some kind of like technical superiority that I simply have no appreciation for, and
maybe
that's
for
why
the
people
time.
Love it.
Maybe for the time, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. So I was underwhelmed by it.
Yeah, to say the least. You know, again, it is unobtrusive. You can just put it on in the background. But it didn't move me in a way that I'd want to keep listening to it. It almost kind of got in the way. So
yes, like the vocalist voice like is almost annoying.
Yeah.
You know? And then, so I looked them up, you know, every once and again, what I'll do is I'll go on YouTube if it's an act and I just want to listen to a complete song. Cause you know, in iTunes, you can usually only listen to 60 or 90 seconds and then it cuts you off. And, so you can usually find good stuff on YouTube. And I found like a Jules Holland, a live performance of the Blue Nile. And it was as uncompelling, or it failed to compel me in the same way that the album did. I did seek out a really obscure act that was mentioned among these sophistopop acts. And actually, off the top of my head, I can't even remember what the name of them. Their song is "The Honey Thief." What is the name of that act? That's really going to bug me. The only way I could, they're not in iTunes. Like I looked them up; they're not in iTunes. And I actually found the official video on YouTube of their single from 1986, "The Honey Thief," and it was all right. But yeah, some of these are really, really obscure.
Just for the sake of completion purposes, I did say I wanted to play some Beja here.
Okay.
Do some, yeah. So I did want to play a little Cruisin' for a Bruisin'. I do like this song quite a bit. And again, this was one of my guilty pleasure choices. Big fan of this song.
Great live clip of her performing that on YouTube. Like, it's the first thing that comes up if you put in Cruisin' for Bruisin' Beja. Like, of her on Letterman or on The Tonight Show from right when that came out. And, like, the whole – everyone is in, like, these – it's a perfect snapshot of fashion in the 80s, what they're wearing. Like, it's worth going out of your way to see. But so those all kind of characterize this, I think, retroactively created genre of music called sophistopop. And like I said, really the last remaining major act of this that we aren't exposed to up until now is that Matt Bianco, who I'm going to try and seek out, like maybe a compilation, like a greatest hit seems like a good place to start with Matt Bianco. And Beja was a member of that. That track, especially Cruisin' for Bruisin' by Beja, the early instrumentation really sounds like the early Sade albums, don't you think?
Right, it really does. In fact, I was wondering, you know, Cruisin' for a Bruisin', if you hear it, it sounds a lot like the beginning of Papa Don't Preach from Madonna, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
And I'm wondering which came first. I don't know what year that's...
Yeah, I don't know.
It really does sound like the beginning of Papa Don't Preach, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Not that I have it handy. I don't think I was going to say Papa...
I do have Papa Don't Preach handy, but I'm not going to play
it. Here you go. Of course, it's using a whole string arrangement, but...
Right. And that, of course, will be replaced with production music in the final published track of this. All right,
right. I'll do some 8-bit versions of it. That'll be
you'll have a MIDI file of the Papa Don't Preach polka that'll play over top of it instead.
So now I'm just looking through like our trivia questions responses so far in the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe Plus page. Now, are you on that page, by the way?
No, you know.
Well, go there and look because I need you to look and see. I don't believe that we have a lot of people responding to our trivia question, which was, for a long time, we used to conclude each episode with a song. Can you tell us the first song we ever played on the show, song title and artist? And it's I think Chad might have been first, Chad Ingles. However, he is incorrect, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure I know what song it was, and I don't know the answer. I think I do know the answer, but I think that that's not correct. So anyway, if you're listening to this show post-download, you have a chance to still win it. So I think it is episode 16, you said, right?
Give or take. I don't think it's any later than 18. I don't think it's any sooner than 15. I must not be doing something right here in Google Plus because I'm seeing complaints from a man named Stephen Sock, and I'm not seeing any answers relating to
Stephen
this.
Sock.
Yeah, he's mad that he can't get in, he says. He says it's because we've reached the maximum number of participants.
Well, I'm sorry, Stephen.
So can you Skype it to me, Clayton? Or you, how about this? This is simpler. I'll Skype the correct answer to you.
Okay.
That way only you can see it. And then I'll write it on a piece of paper and hold it up to my webcam so everyone in the chat room can see it.
I think that's a great idea. That could be. That sounds like a very simple solution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, send me the response. Exactly. That's what I thought it was.
Okay.
And that is not the. So no one has gotten the correct answer just yet. No one has gotten the correct answer just yet.
I'll give you a hint. I'm going to try and help you here. For those of you that came live before the episode it's released. The origin of the act that recorded this song. They are Italian. They are of Italian descent.
Okay, so let's do our next question, and then I want to talk a little.
Make Christmas more.
Yeah, here's our last question. We're going to be giving away a Cobra Joyride. This is a brand new.
Wow.
In fact, it's not even out yet.
Yeah,
it's about to come out, so you'll be one of the first folks to get this. The Cobra Joyride system. It basically takes over your car system, so you can drive very, very safely. But it gives you full control of your smartphone. You just plug your smartphone right into your car, and the Cobra Joyride system works with, I believe it works with iOS and Android. Double check on that. And I think BlackBerry as well. But nevertheless, the Cobra Joyride is a really sweet product. Press this one little button, and it basically gives you full voice command in your car. Pretty, pretty sweet. From our folks over at Cobra Electronics, the sponsor of the 200th episode of the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe. All right, Mike, are you ready?
That's right. Now, you know, if you go to that if this, then that, you can set that up so that when you're using Cobra Joyride to drive your car, it will call the smartphone that you're on to tell you you're driving your car. Here comes the next trivia question. It's coming at you right now. This one I think will prove to be the most difficult, I think. We reviewed a movie on the first Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe. We reviewed a movie. We've alluded to this in past episodes. So you don't have to have heard the first one to know what the movie is that we're speaking of. What movie was reviewed on the very first Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe about 199 episodes ago? There it is. You can be first to get Roxette's Greatest Hits featuring Joyride, Fading Like a Flower, The Look. I think those are all the Roxette songs I know off the top of my head.
All right. Skype that one to me as well. Curious. I don't remember the...
Oh, Morris. Terry Leaders knows the answer. I know he does.
Mm. Okay. So anyway, yeah, Skype that one over to me.
How do you spell Madagascar?
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, yes. The first installment?
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay. So some good
questions.
Do you
remember what else we talked about on that first one? Do you remember? I had just seen the 80s Rewind Tour. Do you remember?
That's right. You saw those guys on tour.
And then I had just for the very first time been to a Brazilian steakhouse.
And then you just had your first Brazilian wax after that as well.
That's right, yeah. That was not as enjoyable as all the meat.
Right. That's what she said.
Mm.
All right, let's...
Do you remember... Those are the things I talked about, because I remember in the early days we had more of a format.
We were doing some news back then, which I thought that we'd actually maybe do some news now. Dude, I don't know if you saw this. Like, there's some questions as to another Batman reboot, and a lot of people are weighing in. Some different writers are weighing in on who they think should be the villain in the next Batman film.
That's right. Everybody in our chat room is weighing in right now. Travis Tooley was the first to weigh in. He says Clayface 3. That's the one that he wants it to be. Now, Terry Leaders is checking in with us right now. He said he'd like for it to be Son of Penguin. I didn't even know that was a character, Terry. Richmond Bramblett, as he's being escorted by security out of his former place of employ, has checked in the chat room, and he's hoping that they make just another one with Bane with the mask thing over his mouth.
Which, incidentally, I think I'm going to be for Halloween Bane this year.
There is a costume out for that.
Like, I know.
The way he looks in The Dark Knight, in The Dark Knight Rises, I should say.
I think it will scare the crap out of my son.
Yeah, probably so. Mike Lewis in the chat room says Killer Moth. He'd like Killer Moth. I don't blame you. That's certainly one of the most compelling, in my opinion, one of the most compelling Batman villains of all time. I think we would all like to see Killer Moth. Clayton, what are you feeling? What are you feeling on this one?
Well, I sent you a list here that has just been published about potential nine villains that could appear in the Batman reboot. And I thought these were interesting. Mm-hmm. Number one, Victor Zsasz.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Zsasz, of course, has been in the other films.
Right. And
right.
That guy's a D-lister.
Right. He is way, way down there. But I would have thought Ra's al Ghul was also a bit of a D-lister.
I disagree with that. I think, you know, when Denny O'Neil really wanted to kind of push him, he was the one that was meant to be Batman's equal. So even though he, you know, he, for example, he was never like featured in the 60s show. He wasn't even around back then. And he was never represented in any of like the other forms, like, you know, he was never on the Super Friends as an antagonist, you know, whereas the Riddler was in Challenge of the Super Friends, or in those cartoons you would see some of the bigger name villains. I think Ra's al Ghul, or Ra's al Ghul, as I've heard it sometimes preferred, was always meant to be like Batman's cerebral equal.
Right. Calendar Man.
Right, yeah, well, that's certainly him. Yeah, and Kite Man, those are the ones we want most of all, right? Like, oh, we need Kite Man.
Bill Finger created him, one of the original rogues galleries of Batman. Now, they make the argument that, look, Zazz and Calendar Man would make good choices because they're normal people that are overcome by the sensation to commit crimes. They don't dress as clowns. They don't control plants or ice. They're not drug-addicted bodybuilders, just people. I've never seen him in anything, Calendar Man. Like, I don't know that I would know...
I think you would because – I'm thinking of Kite Man there. Calendar Man was in Long Halloween, I'm pretty sure. I think he was the antagonist
of that.
That's
right, right.
I'm pretty sure one of those goofy Silver Age books that your uncle gave you has Kite Man in it.
Oh, wait a second. I'm not this far in Batman Arkham City yet. I'm like 15% through that game. I just got through an awesome, awesome scene with Mr. Freeze and the Penguin. But he apparently makes a cameo in there. Calendar Man is in Arkham City. That's pretty cool. I like that. Yes, Travis Tooley writes that he is in Arkham City. I haven't gotten that far yet. I need to get further in that game.
Thanks for the spoiler, Travis Tooley. Here's one for you. Walter White dies at the end of season 5 of Breaking Bad. How do you like that?
Man, how did you get a script ahead of everyone else? Even before Bryan Cranston got a script. Yeah. You even know about this.
Spoiler.
Deadshot. Now, here's a good one. I think this would be a good one. Deadshot. Mm-hmm. Now, he's been all over in a lot of animated features lately, Deadshot.
And, you know, he's going to be in that new Green Arrow series that starts any time now, I think, on the CW. Maybe it already has, but he's going to be one of the antagonists on Arrow.
Really?
Yes. Hmm. I wouldn't lie to you about that.
So he is I guess he appeared first, and I didn't realize this, in Batman Comics looking to take over as Gotham's number one vigilante. But Batman and Gordon stop his attempt to take over Gotham, the Gotham underworld. So he's a highly trained marksman, of course. And he's in a couple of those Batman features, the animated movies, right? The what's that Batman feature? The black and white comics or whatever. It was like 5 or 6 little vignettes. Wasn't he in one of those?
Oh.
I think he –
yes,
sure.
You are right about that. Batman Gotham Knights. You're right about that. Deadshot is in one of those. Yeah, where it was all done by like anime directors or something, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes. Yeah, he is, of course, also in Arkham City as well, if I'm not mistaken. Because there's one scene where he just randomly like a bullet like fires through this one area as you're like holding this prisoner, and it kills this prisoner in your hands. And Batman's like, what the – and he has to – there's like no one around. And he's like – he has to follow the line of the bullet. Like, fought 5 buildings away. And, of course, it looks like it's probably Deadshot. Mm-hmm. But you're not sure at the time. Red Hood. I've never heard of... Yes, I have heard of Red Hood. Forgot about him. The Red Hood. He is a villain. And he could have been a multitude of things. A bank robber, a schemer, sort of like a Punisher-like vigilante. Mm. That might be a good choice. What do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting, this list of just theories that was put together by Superhero Hype. You know, it's just kind of them speculating, and obviously they're trying to stay toward the more grounded villains, because there are some crazier, more over-the-top Batman villains. But as the list goes on, you know, like Black Mask and so on and so forth, they really do seem to be trying to pick the more grounded ones, because I think they feel that would fit better into the Nolan universe. You know, a lot of people here over on Twitter have been checking with us that they can't get in. They can't get in. And that's because this Google Hangout where we are with only the coolest members of the Egghead Army is jam-packed. I think the limit's 9.
Right.
Like, Graveseed on Twitter's really mad. He says, this is lame. Never do it again. Also says, Clayton, I hate your hair. Salen_87 would love to come in but can't. There's no more room in the Hangout. That's right. All the cool people are already in and we closed the door, Salen.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all I'm saying about that.
Terribly sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, I'm over it. So,
you can post up I wonder if you can post up a an actual like a chat window. Like a chat window can you do that on Facebook? Can you just like create a chat window on Facebook and just jump right in there?
I don't know. Chad, can we do that? Is that possible?
Does anyone know?
Mr. Taggart, can you guys solve our tech problems? Is that possible? Just put it right in there. Tell us how to. Clayton doesn't know anything about technology.
We don't know. So you still have a chance to answer the final questions.
Good that they escalated in difficulty.
They really did. We had
because I kind of want that joyride thing for myself if no one wins.
Yeah, there's
that, and I've been trying to get an easy bake oven. I want to make those little pies like they used to have on the commercial.
Hot apple pie.
Mm-hmm. That's what I want, Uncle Kevin. I want the hot apple pie.
If someone gets that reference, that'd be great. Mm.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It is trivial, Mike. You see, episode one isn't even available anymore. The trivia is quite trivial. Just to make it difficult.
So we'll publish. I think we'll publish episode one as a bonus episode in our stream very, very soon. So,
But the first 30 episodes, the audio is really, really rough because of the way we recorded. We had, not substandard microphones, but we didn't have the top of the line stuff at the time. And you go back and listen to those early ones before we had all of our audio bugs ironed out, and it's very, very difficult to listen to, I think.
Yeah. So I'll promise you this. Maybe we'll try to do another live version. We'll just have a chat up. Remember, not necessarily the video camera, not that Mike would pay attention to that anyway. But we'll just have like a live chat room up. We can try that again on a Google Plus page eventually so that we can try and see if folks would be into that or not. But we'll have to figure that out. I think Google Plus might be the best way to do it. I'm not sure. Maybe there's another place we can do it a little bit more efficiently. But
Right. Ask Jeeves Plus, I think, has already overtaken some market space from Google. Certainly the number one search engine worldwide, and particularly
Dog
at
pile.
Schools of Butling.
Dogpile is a great search engine. Mike Lewis wants to know, will I be on the 404 again? In fact, yes, I actually spoke to those guys the other day about something, and they said, hey, you want to come on again? I said, yeah, let's figure it out. But there's some traveling coming. I'd love to do that show again. So is there anything else we want to chat about in our 200th episode? Just looking back, I was thinking about some of the more annoying moments in the show.
Right, that's what always comes to mind first, the annoying moments. I think of those first and foremost. Mm-hmm. I feel really lucky in that one of the great things about this, which was certainly when we first started publishing this and we had very, very, very few listeners, it was basically you, me, and the Vern Master. I feel like it was just done for us. It was kind of for us. And then we realized suddenly that we had an audience. Suddenly episode 31, and it was like we had an audience. I don't know how that happened. But I think my favorite moments have just been when we've had guests on that we thought we would never talk to in a million years, like John Flansburgh from They Might Be Giants. I think that was a really a crazy occasion for you and I. And anytime we've had a guest on, it's really been something very special. Like the fact that Michael Uslan was on our program is kind of a mind-boggling thing to me.
And Mike Nelson from
Mystery Science Theater.
From Mystery Science Theater fame, of course, and now Riff Tracks.
Right. Sure, Clark Datchley, the front man of Johnny Hates Jazz, was on. The motivational rock god Stan Bush. We had jazz siren Jane Monheit on. Thomas Dolby. That was one of my very favorite ones that we did.
Thomas Dolby.
He was great.
Yeah, that was fascinating. Thomas Dolby was. And his new album is pretty darn good, too, by the way.
It really is, which was great because I was so dreading. A lot of these, it takes forever to get these interviews set up. It's like an extremely protracted process. And I kept thinking, what if we hate the Thomas Dolby album and then he's on the show and we've got to be like, so we love your new album.
Right.
And we would just have to be totally facetious about it. But it really is. That Map of the Floating City is really a very, very good album. And Mike Lewis checks in once again. Shut up in the chat room, Mike. Okay. Everyone else is trying to type in that window. It's just a tiny little window. He wants us to have Joel Hodgson on. I would love that. I would love that because slight to Mike Nelson. Joel Hodgson to me is Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Right, right. But it's weird though how difficult it is to find that guy. I mean, I think he's doing – what's the other
– Right, there's Riff Tracks and then there's the other one.
Right.
Yeah, and they're not all together.
I can't remember what they are.
I'm sure they're hilarious, but like something about having to sync that up as I watch the movie, like it's like too much work. I can't do it.
Get out of here. So Okay. So Mike Lewis lets us know that Joel Hodgson was on Seinfeld with coffee. Do you see that new like little thing where it's like a webisode thing where he drives around with comedians and talks with them in the car?
Actually, this is a competing podcast that Mike's referring to. This is Seinfeld with coffee. So this is not exactly what you were thinking there.
Because he just spelled it wrong. But okay. So Joel Hodgson really dug him out of the archives? I'm curious. I have to go watch that because I haven't seen him in years. Like you had said he was like a computer programmer somewhere.
I think he became a software designer. Like I remember seeing a follow-up where they showed him like at his cubicle doing his regular job.
That would be great. I'd love to get him on. And we've been trying to get on Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad.
Right. What, Clayton, why doesn't he answer our tweets? Do you think he's popular?
He might be. Bryan Cranston, and I would love to have on I can't think of his name off the top of my head. I just lost a train of thought. Joel Hodgson. I was thinking of John Hodgman. John Hodgman from The Daily Show. And, of course,
That guy's name is John Stewart on The Daily Show. Yeah.
Colbert. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that would be fun. Bryan Cranston. Who else could we try to get on? I know some of the people. Mike Lewis saying Glenn Phillips from Toad the Wet Sprocket. Now I would like to see that.
Yeah, Glenn Larson, of course, the creator of Knight Rider.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to come up with another famous Glenn, and I went to Glenn Larson.
Can we get what's his name from the 70s? Nicholas Hammond.
Oh my god!
Spider-Man.
You know I've worked on that. Sometimes when we're not on the program here, and you can leave now. You don't have to listen to the rest of this if you want. Eric fell asleep. I don't know if you've been watching in his little window there. Like he keeps nodding off. Like what? Oftentimes when we're off the air, which we do talk off the air, if you can believe that. I don't. Terry, I see this horrible stuff that you're writing. I want Skyler to die on Breaking Bad is what I want. And I have nothing against Anna Gunn. I have nothing against that actress, but I want her character to die. We talk about who can we really get? Like what guests could we get on the show? And I think they're the ones that you and I are willing to verbalize to each other. And then they're like the ones you and I work on in secret, Clayton. And I'd worked on Nicholas Hammond for a while, and there's just no connecting to this guy. He relocated to Australia years ago. Whoever's handling him, like whoever his agent is, you can't find them listed in any of like the public talent directories. Nicholas Hammond's like in a black hole. You can't get to him, which is amazing because that guy, in terms of star power, like let's think about the people we've tried to get on this show, right? The hardest guy to get any kind of thing going on has been Sting, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Like, you can't talk to the people that handle the people that handle him. You can't cut through the entourage to get to him. On the opposite end of the popularity scale is Nicholas Hammond. And we can't get to him either. Like,
right.
In the middle's where we need to strike,
right.
You know? But they're either so obscure and so difficult to get to that we can't find them, or they're so insulated like Sting that you can't get to him.
Yeah, I would like to get Nicholas Hammond. See if we can track him down. My friend Trey Ratcliffe.
I've tried.
Trey Ratcliffe, who lives in New Zealand now. Maybe he's close by. Maybe he can pull
some
strings.
Just ask him to walk over there, right? I don't think there's a body of water or anything.
Just take a ferry over there.
Yeah.
And figure that out.
Easy.
Yeah. I know we've been trying to get Mike Nesmith on the show. Maybe we can get him during when we go see the Monkees in a few months.
Right, we'll like mug him with a microphone. Like, hey, we love the show, and hey, real quick, we're gonna start. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Grizzly Bear Cafe, and we'll just get him on like that. I will say this about this: I was excited to read this because Mickey Dolenz put an album out last month of cover songs. He covers some Beatles songs, some Carole King songs. He remade Randy Scow's Git, and he's been doing a lot of interviews. Obviously, he's out there trying to promote his new album. It's called Remember, and the excerpts I've heard from it, I really like. I thought it would kind of be like Peter Tork's solo stuff, where I'm. But he gave an interview because they were asking about the upcoming Monkees tour. And he said that they have been rehearsing nonstop to try and get the show to sound good. Because while Mickey and Peter used to take part in all the previous reunions, of course, Mike never did. The most he did were those handful of shows in England in 97. And then he departed the tour. And he said they've really been rehearsing very, very hard to try and get the songs to sound the way they want them to sound. And they know they don't have much time to do it because that tour does begin really soon. But just the fact that, like, they were all rehearsing together and there was no, like, oh, and yeah, Peter punched Mike out. Or there was, no talk about that. I thought was a really good indication because those little bits, like, if you ever watch that footage from
the Greek in L.A. when Nez just walked on for the encore and did Pleasant Valley Sunday and listened to the band. And it was clear that they had probably maybe rehearsed once. It was lousy. Like, it was cool to see them all together, but it sounded lousy. And if we go to this show, which, and the tickets aren't cheap for anybody, no matter where you're seeing them or where you're sitting, and the show is kind of, I'll be really, really let down.
Yeah, I will too. It's just the novelty, though, maybe be the thing to see. But I want it to be a good show. I mean, and as good as as good as Mickey Dolenz has been sounding lately, according to you, it would be nice to hear him. To me, it doesn't sound like Mike Nesmith's voice has really faded. As you see some of those more recent videos of him playing, he sounds like he still has the voice. Just wonder if he has the stamina.
Right. Yeah, there's been that talk about his he's in poor health, and that brief thing he did, he did like a live webcast from that 3D environment on Video Ranch of his, where I think he played for about 40 minutes. But the fact that they're rehearsing, and I think it's a good indication. So
yeah.
Yeah, so. It would be great to get him on. We came close. It just turned out, though, that the information I had about his publicist was out of date.
So remember I told you I was in Germany recently?
That's right. You went to like another continent.
We were driving and there was a song that came on and I was, oh my God, I love this song. Why can't I think of who this is? And I was texting my wife the other day on the other show and I was like, hey, can you remember that song we were singing? And I loved it. And I kind of looked through my archives and see if I have it in my music library. I don't know why. It just wasn't top of mind. Like, who sings it? Well, it turns out it just came to her randomly the other day. So I went on a bit of a buying spree as a result of this. And now I know what song I was thinking of that was covered by a more famous individual or created by a more famous individual, another song that I end up loving of his. Anyway, it was Howard Jones.
Oh, he covers IGY.
Yeah, but that wasn't the song I was thinking of. Oh. But I mean, yes, it is. But here's the song that was in Germany. I'm going to play this.
Conflicting response.
I know it's weird, but let me play this. This is the song I was thinking of. We were heard in Germany. I'm like, I love this song. Why can't I? Why is this not like on my 80s list or anything? See if you can name this.
Okay.
Wait till the music's done.
Oh, this is Everlasting Love, isn't it?
So that's
backseat. Yeah, that's Everlasting Love by Howard Jones. But you know that is not the same as the song Everlasting Love by Carl Carlton.
I didn't know that. But yeah. So I went on a bit of a buying spree and reading about Howard Jones because I just wasn't familiar with him. I mean, I knew
he's got a lot of 80s hits that you would know.
I mean, What Is Love? I bought his Best Of album. Mm-hmm. So What Is Love, of course, is another one of my favorites.
No one is to blame. Things Can Only Get Better. New song. He covers Donald Fagen's IGY. And, he's out on tour all the time. Howard Jones is out on tour constantly.
I would love to see him. I had No One Is to Blame. That I had. I was very familiar with that. But What Is Love? I didn't realize that was him. I didn't know that he covered IGY, the famous Donald Fagen song. So anyway, that was a bit of follow-up because I couldn't figure it out in my way. It just came to her. So then
Right.
Interesting to see, but yes,
that was toward the end of his run of getting radio hits. Everlasting Love and I think Lift Me Up were the last two that he had that really got major radio play. But Howard Jones is like one of those obscure, underappreciated 80s artists that people don't even know who it is. In the chat room, people are asking if I'm this pixelated in real life. I uploaded a couple photos 5 minutes before we went live when I started my Google Plus account. And I thought that they were of good resolution, but I look all pixely in these photos, and that is roughly how I look.
I think that they compress them down so that so that it doesn't suck up the bandwidth. Have these massive high res photos in the Google Plus Hangout, but
I've been thinking about changing my face to match this photo so that when people bump into me, they're like, "Oh, I know you from that one Google Hangout that one morning when everyone should have been at work."
Like that,
right, Richmond?
Like Max Headroom.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess that's going to do it for the 200th episode, right?
Right, I see no reason to continue.
Why don't we give? Do you want to give one more thing away? Or no? I guess we're kind of.
Right. If we gave them all away, Clayton, that's yeah. We'll give away a no prize. It's an empty envelope that comes. We'll put a black zip up that no longer fits. We'll send that along to you. So.
I'm going to do this.
Okay.
We'll give one thing, one more thing away. No trivia associated with it. Just a thank you to the first two folks that answer this on our Google Plus page for listening live here. The first two folks.
Oh boy! I hope I win.
I'm gonna post this up. It's a Scotty Vest. You're gonna get $150 credit to ScottyVest.com. Our friends over there. So it's just gonna be one post that says Scotty Vest. The first two people that write just anything in the commentary. We'll get.
It's just like that Jeopardy thing on SNL. Right. Just write anything and you will win Final Jeopardy.
Sean Connery?
Yeah.
Your mom.
Okay, the rapists.
Ready your hands, everyone. Ready your hands if you're listening live. I'm going to post this up on our Google Plus page, Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe. As soon as I hit post, go ahead and post. The first two will get $150 credit to Scotty Vest. Ready? Nice. And go.
All right, very generous there, very, very generous. You see, Matt Mahler doesn't care. He's disinterested in this. He's just like, Scotty Vest.
He was playing Farmville.
Right? Gotta harvest those crops. Gotta harvest those crops. We're going to have another one here. I feel, Clayton, you know, whenever we do these are just things that Clayton buys and gives away. He's a very generous man, and I want to give something away, too. So I have my empty Grande Starbucks cup. That's here. There's something floating around in the bottom. It's like a mouthful of yuck, but I'll give that away. Just write anything on our Google Plus page, anything at all.
Okay, I'm going
to
pull.
If you're willing to pay shipping and handling and insurance, I will get it to you.
No, Mike will pay. Mike's going to sign his Starbucks cup for you. He'll clean it out. He'll sign it.
And I'm going to clean it out.
No, you don't have to clean it out. I'm going to post this up. Mike's Starbucks cup on our Google. Ready?
Yeah,
the first person that wants it, it'll be a signed Quackenbush Starbucks cup.
Yeah,
ready and go. Who will win it?
Could be anybody there.
Who will win?
Terry Leader's just staring at me. He's not even interested in trying.
No one's really jumping on the Starbucks cup.
Right. You've maintained that grin of yours this whole episode, Michael.
No one wants it. I'm surprised. Oh, yeah, no one wants an empty cup.
Come on. What's wrong with you people?
Wow.
I'll tell you what, Chad Ingles, a long time ago, Chad Ingles won a giveaway that we did. He won a Sonos from us. And Chad, if you want, I'll trade you my empty coffee cup for that Sonos, which I think retails for like $900 now, those systems are.
Right.
I'll gladly trade you.
Richmond won the Starbucks cup.
Did he?
Richmond won the Starbucks cup. Congratulations,
right.
Richmond. He gets the signed Mike Quackenbush Starbucks cup.
Mm-hmm. What a strange day it's been for you, Mr. Bramlett, with your... loss of income and everything else, but all these fine gifts that you've won. You know, before I was able to really pursue things like podcasting and professional wrestling on a more full-time basis, I for a long time worked at a packaging company. I think we've talked about this before on past Grizzes, but I worked at a company that manufactured styrofoam products and bubble wrap. That's probably what they're best known for. And I sat in a cubicle all day. That's what I did. Not unlike some of the people that are in our Google Hangout right now. And I had this false sense of security, I think, that even though it was clear at the time that I was being employed there, you know, they always made it clear that they could monitor everything that you do on your computer. And I don't know if I just got comfortable, but after a while I was like, you know what? I'm just going to surf the internet anyway. And, you know, that was not wise.
Right. Is that how you lost your job?
That was no, but... when they did call me, and they laid me off actually one day before it would have been my 10th year with the company. And I think they wanted to get out of giving me this watch. When you're there for 10 years, you get this watch. And you get some kind of like vested stock option that I totally don't understand. I think they somehow wanted out from under that. But they were like, they kind of threw that in the discussion. And they're like, and we've been monitoring your internet usage. And I was like, oh, what are you getting at there? And I was like, oh, God, I know exactly what you're getting at. But
nice.
Yeah, so I didn't get the watch. I didn't get the watch. What can you do?
Yeah, at work I never use like you know, just I try to stay away from doing anything personal on any sort of work computer. Just never a good plan.
Right? And all of a sudden our Google Plus Hangout's been emptied as soon as Clayton said that.
It's crazy.
Imagine that.
So the winner, we have two winners for the Scotty Vest. Terry Leaders has won, and Mike Lewis. Congratulations. You get $150 credit to Scotty Vest, and you got to check out their brand new Fleece 7.0 that just came out. I think it came out this week. It is fantastic. It is awesome. Really is cool. They have a smartphone pouch where the hand is, and actually have the earplugs that go all the way up around the hood to your head, and have like multiple pockets. Really, really nice jacket. So check that out. Maybe you can put your $150 credit towards that if you want to get that and something else from Scotty Vest. So we'll contact you with all that. And remember, there's still two people, still two questions that have not been answered correctly. Our final question for the giveaway: we reviewed a movie, The First Grizz. What movie is it? We used to conclude each episode with a song. What was the first song we ever played? The song title and artist. That still has not been answered correctly. So yeah. We mentioned all of these a couple of times throughout the Grizz history. So hopefully you guys will get it.
Yeah. The truth is out there, my friends. Big thanks to Cobra Electronics, who came through for us in a huge way to make this 200th Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe possible, with just tons and tons of great giveaways. As Clayton said, two of them still out there for you to win. And thanks to everybody that was here with us live. I know not just here in the Hangout, which seemed to be a cap once we hit nine. We had Travis and Terry. The oft-mentioned Richmond Bramlett, Mike Lewis, was in the Mahler, as he's known in the Midwest. That's his call tag. Mark Taggart was with us. Eric Hofstetter, who briefly left to go to the bathroom and has now returned. And Chad Ingalls, who always wins everything ever on our contests. We're all in here with us. And we may try this again. What do you say, Clayton? Do you think that would be – this is a great idea going forward, that we should try this again with Grizz 400?
Right. I think we should just hold – let's not get greedy. Let's try it at 600. And we'll be all right. No, I think we should try the live chat functionality from now on. We can blast out that we're live, and then people can jump in the chat room. We'll see how we can do that so it works well for us when we're on the road, traveling, other things. We can make it convenient. We'll make that happen for us. So – mm-hmm. Our thanks to everyone who joined us live, and those who missed it, we apologize, but we'll try that.
Yeah, I
try to do a group chat at some point here live on each show, so if you missed it, we'll maybe do that going forward. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Eggheads, and thank you, Cobra Electronics and Squarespace, and thank you, Clayton.
Thank you, Mike. 200.
Mm-hmm. Last episode. Bye now.